this was my identity.
Nobody talks about how freaking hard it is to be a dentist. What most people talk about is how this affects the patient. What nobody talks about is how this affects us. Dentistry is ready for this. Now is really the time.
Welcome back to Wellness in Dentistry. I am one of your hosts, Dr. Kyle Stanley. I am a dentist, tech entrepreneur, speaker, and researcher. And you are joined by your other host and my very good friend, Dr. Martin Mendelson. He is a disabled dentist, coach, speaker, thought leader, and author. And together, we've helped thousands of dental professionals pursue wellness in dentistry. Now, today, we're going to talk about building a support network for mental health and professional growth if you are a dental professional. But before we do that, one of the best ways that you could probably start that journey is to join us May 9th and 10th for our two-day transformational CE event at Glidewell Dental Lab in Irvine, California, just a few minutes away from Santa Ana Airport, a few minutes away from Disneyland and from the beach. So you can go to wellnessanddentistry.com, go to our links and look at our live event and make sure you join. It's some of our favorite days of the year. So Martin, how are you doing?
I am good. We're recording this on a Monday afternoon.
Yes. And we were talking before, you've already exercised today, something that we're big on. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Me too.
Yeah. Yeah. Already exercised today. Had a productive day. It's a good day. It's a good day.
So. Well, let's talk about building a support network.
Mm-hmm.
This was something that I thought that I had, but I didn't really have. So mm-hmm. with what I found is if you're going through hardships as a quote unquote successful person,
mm-hmm.
it's challenging to get sympathy from other people.
Yeah. True.
Why do you think that is?
Well, because people assume things about you and, you know, and to some degree, I guess it's making them feel better about themselves too, right? It's like, well, look what look at all the stuff that you have going on. You don't have this or this or this going on. But, you know, as Oprah always says, I love quoting her, everybody has a story and nobody understands the dark days that we've all had, because those aren't public. Those aren't the things we put on social media, for gosh sakes, right?
Yeah, what I've seen is that being a dentist that is going through burnout or is rethinking their career or is exhausted or feels cynical is kind of like a celebrity that's mm-hmm. going through a mental health crisis. You know, for people that are my generation, you probably remember when it happened to Britney Spears, right? She was at the top of her game. And then a few years later, she shaves her head and she's breaking a window with an umbrella. I also remember Justin Bieber, because he used to live down the street from me, was, you know, he's peeing in a bucket and he's this young kid. But what's funny is I remember seeing the media about both of these events.
Yep.
What so many of them said is, how can this person be going through a mental health crisis? They have all this money. They're so talented. They're loved by millions of fans across the world.
Yeah.
And it's like, guess what? They're still human underneath that. And that's, I think, what people don't remember about we dentists.
Absolutely.
We're highly trained. We're in the top 1% of earners in the world and maybe even in your state or country. And guess what? We can still have challenges. We can still be sad. We can still go through depression, anxiety, or suicidal ideation.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, and we've talked about this concept before, you know, hedonic adaptation, as I typically call it, where, you know, you get something really, really big. And then the question becomes, now what, right? As Sean Accord talks about in the happiness advantage, when you keep looking toward a specific goal to make you happy, then when you get there, the goalposts keep changing. And so how do you focus on the journey rather than the destination? And you know what I was thinking as you were talking about Britney Spears and Justin Bieber is that, you know, in my upcoming book, you know this because I've told you this, I talk a lot about Shawn Mendes in my book. Why? Because Shawn Mendes is kind of the antithesis of this in that he didn't make, he hasn't made news for peeing in a bucket or whatever he did. He, you know, he quietly is on podcast after podcast after podcast talking about his anxiety, his panic attacks, his, you know, imposter syndrome, all that stuff. And isn't it interesting that that doesn't make the news cycle like peeing in a bucket does, right? Because it doesn't fit the sensational narrative of the news, which is a whole other topic. But yeah.
You know, when I was going through my burnout, when I was going through my dark times, I reached out to people that I trusted.
Yeah.
Some were dentists, some were not dentists.
Yeah.
The non-dentist usually said, well, what do you mean, Kyle? I see you're this successful. I mean, I saw the car you drove up in.
Yeah.
I know you live in a nice house. You've got a great family. Mm-hmm. Come on. What do you have to worry about? Come on. You're fine. You're good.
Yeah.
Now, when I talk to some dentists, they would say, oh, I know exactly what you're talking about. I've gone through that. For me, I was very lucky that I had my brother and my father, who you know, I can be very open with, and they both had gone through this or were going through it at the time.
Yeah.
But I had dentists that said, I don't know what you're talking about. Like, you just need to get tougher. You know, if you can't handle it, then get out of the kitchen.
Yeah.
And how I think of this is kind of how I think of people in the military.
Mm-hmm.
You know how you think of someone in the trenches in like the 1940s, right? They're being shot at. It's freezing. They don't know when they're going to see their family or if they'll even live that day. I have no idea what that is like. And I hope that I never have to experience that, right? Mm-hmm. So I can never fully relate to someone who's gone through that. I could try, but I can never fully relate. But just like how a non-dentist doesn't know what it's like to work on that second molar with the buccinator muscle that keeps attaching to the tooth and you're trying to pull it away with the mirror and you touch the gums and the gums start bleeding. You go to put the patient back and they say, I can't go back anymore. And your hygienist is coming in and saying, doc, I have an exam in the next room. And your husband or wife is calling you and saying, should I sign the kids up for soccer or should I sign the kids up for football? And then your front office is coming to you and saying, oh, you know, the patient at the front doesn't want to pay. Well, what do we do? And then your assistant comes and says, the x-ray machine is broken. Nobody knows what that's like unless you've been there.
Yeah.
And so I think it's so important that we create a support network that understands what you're going through and I would say, and is open to personal growth as well.
Yeah. And, you know, I lived in the trenches of study clubs for many, many, many years, well over, technically, if you take the totality of my career, well over two decades in one form or another. And you and I have observed this too, particularly around Lightside Live, trying to, let's say, schedule in a given locale. And because people are a little bit more concerned about, you know, revealing their true selves in front of people in their local community. And for some people, that's more challenging than others. But, you know, at the end of the day, there's a lot of people out there. And what you said is so true. Nobody understands a dentist like another dentist. And so you may have tried or you may have attended one, two, or half a dozen different kind of groups. But I guarantee you there's a group out there for you. And I used to see this all the time at Spear. You may or may not have peeps that you can really engage and feel safe to be vulnerable with at home. You may or may not have that at home, meaning in your community. But I guarantee you, you're going to find those people somewhere else, whether it's Spear or Coyce or Dawson or Panky. And that's, you know, it's kind of interesting because if you are into, as an example, you know, continuing education, well, go where those peeps are, which would be at, you know, Panky or wherever else. So, you know, and I want to say something else, which can be very liberating when you finally embrace it. I don't know about you, Kyle, Dr. Kyle Stanley. I know that you don't like everybody on this planet. Why would you expect everybody to like you? Yes. And so, so when you embrace that idea, it becomes okay to be like, you know what? I don't feel like I fit in here. And instead of saying, I don't fit in, you say, I don't fit in here. Okay, where else am I going to look next? Right?
Yeah, it's a great point. When you were talking about Spear and Coyce and Panky and all these other LVI, all this, I found that unless the CE is talking about mental health, that topic will not come up.
True.
So I've seen a lot of study clubs that I've spoken at, that you've spoken at, where they meet every month. And there's this surface level, how's your practice? How's you doing? Oh, yeah, that remember that great speaker we had on Full Arch last month? I've done those, some of those. Oh,
yeah. Cool.
And then you or I or another speaker comes in and talks about mental health.
Yeah.
Talks about
some people can't handle it.
Drug abuse, or talks about suicide, or talks about anxiety or depression or panic disorder. And then you start seeing a group connect.
Totally. 100%.
So I found that just having someone else bring it up, like I always say in my live speaking events, have me be the scapegoat. Where you say, remember that weird skinny guy from California? Remember what he was talking about? Yeah, I'm kind of feeling like that. Or I had a patient like that. And so we need more people talking about it, because there's already these groups, like you said. Yeah. There's already study clubs. There's already masterminds. There's already people that meet up every year for AACD or for AAP or IDS. Or, you know, they see each other. Even
Absolutely.
Just one a year can
Absolutely.
Be more than some people have.
Yeah.
But we have to get past that surface level and be open to share about these kind of topics.
Absolutely. You know, I want to share with you a story that I don't think I've ever even told you, that I don't think I've told in public before. So talk about vulnerability. Here we go. So I've shared on this before that, you know, I've stopped drinking in 2015. And I have to say, like some people who are in recovery, AA just wasn't for me. And I just never felt like I was like connecting to a lot of the people that were there. And I was choosing to go to an LGBT version of AA because I was like, I don't want to have to explain myself twice to a group of people I don't even know.
Right.
And I will never forget something that happened. It was the last time I ever went. At the time, I had a very pretty blue Porsche Cayman. And this was in... Oh, it's so fun. It was that royal blue, that really pretty sapphire royal blue.
Yeah.
And so I pull in and we're, as usual, people were standing outside talking before the meeting actually started. And this was kind of in downtown Phoenix, about 20 minutes from where I live. And somebody who I'm literally in a group talking to, who didn't see me come in, points to my car and says, whose car is that? They don't belong here. And, you know, at first I was so incredibly upset because I was telling myself a story that these are the people that I'm supposed to connect with. Well, whoever made up that rule? And so I share this with everybody because you will find your people. And sometimes it takes a little longer to find those individuals. But the research is clear, like you and I both talk about the Harvard study, some people call it the Grant study, about the longest study ever conducted in human history, that the, quote, warmth of human relationships was had the greatest impact on life satisfaction. So finding your peeps is so incredibly important. And you know what? Sometimes it takes a while. And sometimes they may not even be local. I mean, I have so many people that I consider dear, close friends, like you, we don't live in the same town, that I, you know, I would be some of the first people I call when something good or bad happens. Most of them, not all, of course, most of them don't even live in Phoenix. And I've grown okay with that. And so I hope my story kind of makes people think about putting judgments on, well, I've tried this or I've tried that. I guarantee your tribe is out there. It's just, we all have to keep looking.
It's a great story because it sets the expectation for people listening that you may not be received with warmth and open arms when you talk about a subject like this. Mm-hmm. And this was the case with me. When I started first posting about this in 2018, I got a lot of support. Trust me, a lot of support, especially because back then nobody was talking about this.
Yeah.
But I did get people say, man up. If you're if you're not tough enough, you should just quit.
Yeah.
Or stop being a pussy. Or, you know,
wow.
I mean, I still remember this one lab technician on Facebook that wrote something. I think he wrote that, stop being a pussy or something like that. And I was like, first of all, like, if you don't have anything nice to say, like, there's a better way of saying that. Yeah. Like, there's such a better way of saying that.
Yeah.
But why I want to bring this up is because seek out groups that that will understand what you're going through and will also have sympathy towards you. And I'm not saying it just like go out and get sympathy, but it is nice to know that you're not the only one going through it. I thought I was the only one. I thought I'm the only guy who can't handle it. Right. I'm the wuss. Everyone else can handle it. Everyone else is still practicing and they're still doing it. And I want to quit. What's my problem?
Yeah.
And then when I went and talked to other people, they're like, oh yeah, I think about quitting all the time. And just a little bit of, it gave me some solace to know that I wasn't the only one thinking about it.
Yeah.
And now after working with, you know, tens of thousands of people with live events and in-person and online stuff, I know that really the people that say that are the minority. The people that haven't gone through something like this are actually, you know, I say the weird ones, but you know what I mean? They're the ones who haven't gone through this. The majority of people have gone through depression or anxiety or panic disorders or feeling overwhelmed. I mean, just the idea of feeling overwhelmed. I mean, who hasn't felt overwhelmed? And especially when you talk about the practice of dentistry.
Well, you know, look, you and I get accused of being predatory at times because we're talking about this stuff and we charge for our in-person course like we should be doing it. I mean, let me be very blunt. Like, you know, there's very few CE courses that are free that have significant life-changing value.
Right.
And we also don't provide dental care for free. So we need to stop and just like take a litmus test here for a minute, because unless you're running a nonprofit dental practice, like back up. Mm-hmm. And so it was very interesting because, you know, we talked about this before. Somebody was kind of coming after you. They didn't realize who I was. And I literally stopped and online, I said, where's this negativity coming from? All this guy's trying to do is to help people. And okay, so he's charging like every other CE course on the planet. How is that a problem? And the guy completely backed down. I mean, the phrase "methinks he doth protest too much" is rather applicable in these kind of situations. And furthermore, when it goes to like finding your peeps, like I said earlier, you're not going to like everybody. So don't expect everybody to like you and be okay with that.
And for the topic of today, you know, building a support network for mental health and personal growth. I think we've talked about mental health a little bit in the first part of this episode. Finding people that are interested or acceptable on personal growth, I think is also a challenge.
Yeah.
I'll tell you, I changed, first of all. Mm-hmm. I used to be the person that if someone couldn't handle it, I would say, but you're not cut out for this.
Mm-hmm.
You just need to work harder.
Mm-hmm.
You just, there's something wrong with you, right? Yeah. And then I was the one, of course, that, you know, couldn't handle it, right?
Yeah.
Also, too, I used to be the one saying, you're reading self-help books? God, what? You're a loser. Like, what a loser.
Yeah.
I mean, I honestly would think that about people. Back in the day, you know, you'd hear in the early 2000s, I remember there was one of my friend's fathers who would drive us to sporting events, and he always had Tony Robbins tapes in his things. And I remember someone asking, what is this? And he said, oh, it's like a self-help personal growth guy or something. And I honestly thought like, oh, what a loser.
Wow. Interesting.
And it's funny how I have changed so much.
Yeah.
Now I think some of that comes with age. I think some of that comes with experience.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, the self-help industry has become so much more in the open now than before.
Oh yeah,
you know, I mean, back then it was Tony Robbins, Oprah would bring people on, right? And let's say in the '90s or even in the early 2000s, but there wasn't really anyone else. I mean,
Nope.
at least that I knew of, that was
Nope.
that forward to like a teenager. But now you have people all over Instagram, all over Facebook, all over TikTok, social media.
Yep.
And I think it's really positive because you have children that are incorporating mindset into their training. I guess my question for you is, how do you think you can find someone who's interested in personal growth? And do you think that it has to do with age or experience?
I don't think it necessarily has to do with age or experience. Because when I think about the folk who've come to Lightside, like our good friend who's moving, you know, that person's a lot younger. And so I think it's a life experience, not a chronological life experience necessarily, that makes people open to this kind of thing. I think in terms, to get really tactical to the heart of your question, like, how do you find these people? I think a lot of it, first of all, if you're already in a study club or you're hanging out with peeps at CE, first of all, I think just being aware of the din of the conversation is helpful. If all anybody's talking about is margins and materials, then that probably tells you something.
Yes.
But I also think open-ended questions, as usual, will set you free. What do you think about whatever? Like, let's say, for example, you like Tony Robbins. Let's say you like, oh my gosh, vulnerability. What is
Brené Brown?
Yeah, let's say you like Brené Brown. What do you think about Tony Robbins? What do you think about Brené Brown? What are your thoughts on Mel Robbins? You know, I was just reading or just saw her online talking about the let them theory to like let it go. What do you think of that? And so there's, in doing so, I hadn't thought about this before. This is kind of cool, I think. In doing so, what you're doing is you're not being vulnerable yourself. You're not kind of putting yourself out there at the risk of being shot down. You're simply being curious and asking for information. What do you think about Tony Robbins? What do you think about Mel Robbins? What are your thoughts on meditation? What are your thoughts on self-care? What do you think self-care is? And see what they say.
I'll say this for my demographic, which is early 40s, dads is the core, most of my friends are, right?
Yeah.
It is huge. I mean, like everybody is into personal growth.
Yeah.
All of my friends, and I'll tell you, even my most successful friends are even more into personal growth. And, you know, weird how that's a combination.
Yeah.
I know, like the group of guys that I exercise with, they're like, it kind of comes from the biohacker, I think, realm, which is like, how can I just be the best version of myself, whether that's physically, mentally, emotionally. And then you get into, I mean, these are the guys that I know that read the most books, that take the most courses, and I'm talking about development courses, that have coaches. And it's really fun to be around a group like that, because what you find with people that are into personal development, they tend to be very vulnerable. They tend to be very honest. And just, I mean, those two traits are such a great trait to have around people in general. They tend to be inquisitive, lifelong learners, which of course scientists are. I mean, I think this is one of the reasons why dentists that do get into personal growth really kick ass, because they're great lifelong learners. They're great learners in general.
Yep.
It just takes something, whether it's a dark period or an event that is poor or the need to get better. But once they turn it on, I mean, you know this, all your coaching clients, all the people that come to Lightside Live, all the people that we see on Lightside Academy or Lightside Club, they end up kicking ass.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I have a good friend here in Phoenix who's an endodontist, and he really started focusing more on that kind of stuff, ended up bringing in a partner, bringing in an associate, and he's working less and making more. And I'm talking about his own personal production. Forget about the practice. And we had dinner like a week ago tomorrow. And he was like, life is great. Like, this is amazing. And so now they need to move because they need more physical space because they're kind of trading off schedules right now. And it just, it blows my mind. Like, time after time after time after time, the people that take the time to think about their journey of life and what would drive greater levels of joy and happiness end up finding it or finding different things that they never would have imagined.
You know, I just thought of something, and that is, don't be afraid to buy your network. Now, what do I mean by that? I know that when I got into some masterminds, when I started some coaching programs, I was buying network, right? I was paying into a program.
That's true.
What's funny is you pay into a program, and this you could say the same thing for a study club, right?
Oh, yeah, 100%.
Buying into a network where you know people are at a high level, they want personal growth, they're more involved with mental health or with professional growth. And I would say don't feel bad about that.
No.
I'll tell you, when I've spent money on coaching, it has absolutely changed my life. Mm-hmm. And I am close with both of my coaches that I've had now. You know, I talk to them all the time. I'm still doing coaching with one of them. And, but you know, it was a transaction, right?
Oh yeah.
It was a transaction, 100%. But I'm trying to find the quote that one of my coaches said, which was, when someone pays money for something, it's them putting, I need to find the way that he says it, but something like putting money towards an outcome.
Oh, absolutely.
Now you can think about it.
I love that you just said what you said about buying a network, because truthfully, I've done that quite a bit in the last 3 to 4 years. And, you know, I love my eggheads, and my eggheads are a mastermind group of pretty high powered coaches. We're talking about men and women that work with Fortune 5 or Fortune 100 companies. Wow. And I absolutely love these people. And as an offshoot of this, being involved with them and their IP, which I am allowed to use with permission, has fueled my income. And there are other groups that I've joined, like SCN and Vanessa Emerson's group here in Phoenix, where she holds Weevolution and Expansion. Every single time I've met unbelievable people that are like-minded, that have come back to me in spades financially, that have paid for each of those, shall we say, purchase networks, in some cases, in exponential ways. And I mean that literally, not figuratively. And so it's a really good point. And I guess I would even couch it maybe in a very ever so slightly different way, which is, don't be afraid to make the investment in yourself.
Right.
You know,
I'm trying to find this quote because he says it so well.
I hate when that happens. Happens to me all the time.
I need to find this quote, but anyways, I'll find it. But it's something like someone spending money on something is moving towards a desired outcome, something like this.
Yeah.
And you can think about the same thing for dentistry.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Oh, 100%.
Because a lot of us, you know, we feel bad about charging this much for something, or, mm-hmm. they can't afford it. And so we need to make it less. Think about that person putting that money towards mm-hmm. getting that desired outcome. Now, that desired outcome can be mm-hmm. cosmetics, it can mm-hmm. be function, it can mm-hmm. be health, right? Let's say you're doing Carrie's cleanouts or you're extracting a broken tooth, but they're putting money towards a desired outcome. And I think that's how we need to think about so many things in our life, is if I, like, the more money I put towards something, the more I'm going to make it happen.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Like, think about something that you may have spent a lot of money on.
Oh, I'll give you one. My book.
Yeah, right. Yeah, you put money into it. You're like, I'm going to make this happen because I've invested money into it. Mm-hmm. I'm going to make this happen. You know, you can think about your practice. Anybody who owns a practice, who's done a build out of hundreds mm-hmm. of thousands or even millions of dollars of build out, you're like, this has to work.
Yeah.
Put all this money in for this desired outcome.
Yep. And I love what you just said there, because let's talk about this a little slightly deeper here for a split second. So for us dentists, it's easy to understand that you need to pursue a desired outcome when you go to a continuing education course. that I'm going to this implant placement course so I can place single implants, as a very simple example. And the truth of the matter is that we don't apply the same metrics oftentimes to the stuff that we commonly view as more subjective. But yet it doesn't have to be more subjective. So for example, if you're going I'll give an example. This coming July, I'm going on a river rafting tour with a licensed therapist in Moab, and it's all about like identity and purpose. And it's not crazy expensive, but it's not inexpensive.
Yeah.
But I can already tell you, I've already sat down and thought about what are the three things I want to get out of this? Mm-hmm. And just the exercise of challenging yourself to think about, what do I want to get out of this experience, this group, this study club, this networking opportunity, in and by itself kind of flips your brain into, okay, searching for the accomplishment of those goals while you're there or while you're engaging with those people.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, when I think about this topic, building a support network for mental health and professional growth, it's kind of like how I heard Christian Coachman say dentistry is a team sport.
Mm-hmm.
And I couldn't agree more. It's kind of like life is a team sport.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, and just like you said, with the grant study or the Harvard development study, the people that had deep relationships, not in quantity, but in quality.
Yeah.
Had the happiest lives and lived the longest.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I
forgot. So it's longevity. And quality of life.
Absolutely. And, you know, take advantage of the time in which we're in. People are accustomed to Zoom meetings, et cetera. So what's that quote from the movie Field of Dreams? Build it and they will come. Mm-hmm. So sit down, think about the people that are in your life that are potentially all over the country or the globe that you feel you might have some kind of connection with. And just start putting feelers out there. If it's important to you, then make it happen. If it's important to you, think about your next three steps. If it's important to you, figure out the date of your first next step. And ask those open-ended questions. What do you think about getting together on Zoom once a month to talk about life challenges? And just open up the dialogue with open-ended questions, so that you're not being too vulnerable yourself, because that can be kind of scary, especially if you don't know where the other person's coming from, and start the dialogue. And you never know, they might bring two friends and so on, as the Wella Balsam commercial from the 70s said, if I'm dating myself, they bring two friends and so on and so on and so on.
Yes. And I'll tell you, like from our Lightside Club, which is our twice monthly mastermind that meets.
Yep.
On Zoom, I'll tell you, I'm the leader of it, but I get so much out of it too.
Yeah.
You know, I feel supported in myself that I have someone to talk to, because I mean, you know, cause you're always on too. Thank you for your help with this, is that, you know, sometimes I come on and I have a hard day and I say, mm-hmm. gosh, you know, my son was really difficult, or
yep.
you know, I've been traveling a lot or whatever. And I get the support from the other people that I'm supposed to be helping too.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah. And that's how a true relationship is. So the importance of having a support network for mental health and personal growth, I think can't be underemphasized, especially when you have a profession like ours where it's going to be challenging.
Yeah. And I would also say, along the lines of what I was saying before about putting feelers out, don't try to make it complicated. Like, there are no rules here. If nothing else, if you create a commiseration group, well, great. Because, you know, if you feel that that's not being satisfied in your life, because as I'm quoting again, nobody understands a dentist like another dentist, then that by itself is worthwhile, right?
Yeah.
Because oftentimes when we think study club or mentorship or mastermind group, we think, oh, there has to be a structure. Well, mm-hmm. you know what? The most important step in any journey is the first one. So just get started and the entropy will carry you forward.
That's so true. All right. So what have we talked about today? We've talked, I think, first about the aspect of finding a support network in dentistry that is okay talking about mental health.
Yep.
These study clubs, these colleagues, I think it's, to me, it needs to be other dentists. I believe, mm-hmm. you know, of course, if you need professional help, get professional help from a psychologist, right. psychiatrist, therapist. But I know that a lot of people that have come to our courses have done therapy.
Oh, yeah.
And some have felt like they couldn't really relate to me.
Yeah.
You know, that's all. It was actually cool. Martin and I actually had a therapist that's a dentist come to our Lightside Live course. The first one that we did, actually. And I mean, that is just so valuable for dentists mm-hmm. if they could work with her.
Mm-hmm. 100%. Yeah. And I think, you know, don't be attached to the outcome is what I would say in coach speak, meaning just going about putting it out there into the universe, as some people say, will most likely allow those people to start to find you. Because the older I get, the more I'm absolutely gobsmacked and shocked how little things that I've said over the years have impacted people so significantly. It just happened this weekend. I gave a lecture at the University of Maryland. I don't even remember how long ago. And I was on Dental Nachos and the discussion came up of disability insurance. And this guy piped up and said, oh yeah, Martin's a really nice guy. He came and lectured to us when we were in our residency and I got disability insurance because of him. And I've you know, always been so appreciative of that. I had no idea that I had that impact on that person. And it was just from my words, that's it. So please don't discount the importance of just putting yourself out there and just asking the question while, you know, if you're uncomfortable, while at the same time not making yourself too vulnerable by asking them the open-ended questions about how they feel about these topics.
By the way, before we finish, I think I just thought of that quote.
Oh, good.
It's someone paying for a anything. It can be dentistry, it can be a course, it can be a trainer. Mm-hmm. It's them making a bigger commitment for a desired outcome.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
The money is the commitment for the desired outcome.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, I need to, I don't know if that's the exact one, but I'm going to write that down.
Oh, I like it. No, that's good.
It's close. It's close.
That's why I hired a virtual trainer at the beginning of this year, and it's working like gangbusters. I love it. You know, he's supportive, and, you know, I'm making a game out of it with social media because now I'm tagging him because the app that he puts my workouts on just told me the other day I've lifted 50,000 pounds. That's the same as a fire truck. And there was a fire truck, you know, picture there, and I was like, well, that's cool. So I posted it, you know. So I'm making it a game to hold myself accountable to somebody I don't even see in person. You know, it's kind of cool.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
Well, thanks for listening today, guys. I think the important part is building a support network. It's challenging to do this job by yourself for decades. Yes. So find like-minded colleagues. Of course, you can take our courses, come to our live events, join our masterminds. But there are others, of course, as well. If you would like to find a tribe, in person, you could come to our Lightside Live event. It's May 9th and 10th at Glidewell Dental Lab in Irvine, California. Go to wellnessanddentistry.com, click on our links, and you'll find everything you need there. And we thank you for listening to Wellness and Dentistry. If this podcast today really spoke to you and you've got a colleague that you think needs to listen to it, press the share button and share it to them. I know when I have friends that send me podcasts, it always goes to the top of my list. And that's how you can help us out. So thanks for listening, and we'll see you on the next episode.
Bye-bye.